I'd like to thank Pastor Rogers for allowing us to be here. Boy, to see him and to see his spirit after 30 years of faithfulness, we're just blessed to be a part of it, sir. So I sure appreciate the privilege. And I tell you what, it's good to see all of you today. So I sure appreciate that. I tell you what, I've been with Christian Law Association now for 15 years. And if I were to look at my phone and show you this morning, there are pastors right now who are calling, asking for help. Someone served their church this morning with papers and they're scared. If I were to look at my phone, if Brother Gibbs were to look at his phone, we would see calls and emails and text messages from Christian business owners and people who are out just inviting someone to church asking, how do I get out of this trouble? I don't know. I was stopped from asking people to come to my church today. And Pastor, if I could tell you how many times we've been able to have the privilege to help these folks, what a joy it is. It's the honor of my life to serve as a legal missionary with the Christian Law Association. There's something that's been on my heart lately, and you've seen it at the store, you've seen it at the coffee shop, you've seen it at Walmart, you've seen it anywhere you go. People are very fretful. People are worried. Worried about the future, worried about the present, worried about what might happen with them, worried about what might happen in America today. Statistics show 70% of Americans have added stress over the last year. 80% say they're worried about the future of America. 60% say that the issues America is facing right now overwhelm them. They just don't know what to do. But we know the one who is never overwhelmed, who is never worried. He can help us with any of our troubles and any of our trials. And he's never surprised by anything. We can watch the news and we can see people say, oh, I thought this election was going to go this way and it went that way. They're surprised, but God is never surprised. Spurgeon once said, the great preacher, the prince of preachers in England said, to trust God in the light is nothing, but trust him in the dark, that's faith. That's faith. Trust him in the dark. Turn to me, if you would, in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 37. Psalm chapter 37. We're going to talk a little bit today about fretfulness and how we can avoid fretfulness and how we can have the peace of God instead of being fretful, instead of worrying. When you turn to Psalm 37, I'm going to read a few verses now. And then we'll pray and get started. Psalm 37 begins, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the people who are here, who have come to Sunday school to hear from your word. We ask that you would help us as we examine this passage and we learn what you've taught us on how to not be worrisome, how to not be fretting, and how you are in full control of everything. We thank you. Show us now in Jesus' name. Amen. First thing I want you to see here, underline fret not in verse number one. Fret not. You can't get more direct than that. The God of the Bible, the God of the universe, who created everything that we see, everything we do, the creator of everything says, don't worry. Fret not. Now, it says something interesting here. Because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Now, oftentimes, we fret because of normal circumstances. And here it's telling us, don't fret because of anybody who's even going to come against you. Now, over the last few years, we've seen people say, church should not exist. Church should not be essential. We should close down the churches. Well, we have the honor of helping churches stay open. It's our privilege. The Bible says we ought to go to church. You're all here because it's a command of God to go to church, learn from the Word. But it says here, fret not. I tell you what, over the last few days, hearing the sermons from the men's conference, hearing Dr. Getch and Dr. Gibbs preach about the different issues that we're facing, how could we fret when we know the God of the universe is on our side? Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. First thing I want you to write down, worry robs God of His omnipotence in our lives. We've put ourselves in His place. When we worry, we act like we can control the outcome. And we have no control over the outcome. When we worry, we say, I think it should go this way, but it doesn't go that way. And so we worry, we stress, our blood pressure starts to boil. And yet, we know from Scripture, fret not. The word fret there, it means heartburn. How many of you have eaten something a little too spicy and gotten heartburn sometime? Yeah, I think we all have. That heartburn takes a while to calm down. It's an inner anguish. It's something that definitely we could have avoided had we not done a certain thing. That heartburn we get from fretting, our dependence on God could control that for us. Number two, worry puts you in the position that is meant for God. God's omnipotent, but we're not. What we deal with every day is not in our control. We do what we need to do and leave God the outcome. Number three, worry is a direct result of disobeying God's divine plan for your peace. And I'm going to outline that plan right here. It says it right in the Scripture. Right? Don't you love it when the Bible just speaks for itself? So let's go to verse number three. Trust in the Lord and do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. The Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You want to have peace? You want to not fret, not worry? Be in the Word. If you do your daily devotions, you come to church, you study the Word, you meditate on it, that's what God calls us to do anyway. If we're doing the basics, we can avoid this trouble. We can avoid the worries that the world has. And how can the world look at us as believers and say, I want what they have, if when we come into trouble, we act the same way they do? We can go to our authority with anything that we need. We can go to the omnipotent God who controls the universe. He created the grass outside. He created the sun, the stars also. If when we come into trouble, we act like the world does, they look at us saying, well, if he's acting just like I am, why do I need what he has? We need to be a people who are in the Word. Go to verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I sure love this passage. Amen. Jump down to verse number 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. The delight goes both ways. You will be delighted by matching up with God's plan for your life, and He will delight in you because your obedience to Him delights Him. Verse number 24, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with His hand. When we're doing exactly what God has for us to do, we can count on Him to lift us up when we fall. Let me repeat that. When we count on God and we're doing what we ought to do, we can count on Him to lift us up anytime we fall. He is the Almighty. He is the one we serve. What a privilege. What do you choose to delight in? Are you delighting in things that the world delights in? Or are you delighting in things that God delights in? Are you happy to be a cheerful giver, as the Bible says? Are you happy? Are you delighting in the things that God calls us to do? Or are we kind of taken away by the cares of this world, which we'll get into in just a moment? But what you delight in, if you're following what this says, and how many of you believe what the Bible says it means? How many believe that? If you believe what this is saying here, God will delight in you when you delight in the things that He wants you to delight in. He will be thrilled with you as His servant. Let's go back to verse number 5. Commit. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. I love the word commit here. Commit means to roll something over. It's an older word. It means if you've got a burden here, roll it over to him. Committing that way. But I like what someone said. It said it's like pushing a boulder off the top of a mountain. It will just gather up speed. It's continual. When you commit, you're fully committed. You've seen skydivers when they jump out of a plane. That's commitment. You're done. When you roll something over like that, rolling it onto God, that is commitment. That's what that word commit thy way means, is to roll it over onto him. And 1 Peter 5:7, it says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now, I love that because there's two meanings to that. When you're casting all your care on him, for he careth for you, he loves you. He cares for you as someone cares for another loved one. But he cares also on your behalf. He cares for you. So you don't have to care anymore. It's for you. It's in your place. He cares about those things, so you no longer have to care about those things. Verse 7. Rest in the Lord. We all want rest. Today, I'm sure, more than other days when we have daylight savings coming around. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Here it is again. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. How do we rest? Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. That Jesus Christ said that to his disciples. We need to know that's how we rest. We follow this pattern. We're to fret not, then we trust. Then we delight. Then we commit. Then we'll have rest. I tell you what, I'm honored to be here. I wouldn't be here if not for Dr. Gibbs and the Christian Law Association. And you say, yes, I know you're with him. No. When I was a young boy, I went to a Christian school. That Christian school years before had a lawsuit that came upon it. People didn't want the Christian schools to exist. And Brother Gibbs and the legal missionaries at the Christian Law Association came over and handled that. They provided legal counsel at no cost, which is what we have the honor to do every day. And because of those sacrifices, I'm able to do this. Because of the sacrifices when the Christian college that I went to had a lawsuit, and Brother Gibbs and these great men who are on the staff came down and helped solve that issue too, I was able to have a Christian education. There's no other way to explain it. I would not be here if not for the ministry of the Christian Law Association. And we have the privilege of helping churches and Christian schools and others every single day. Fret not. Because we're able to help them, by the Lord's help, do what they just are called of God to do. I'm so blessed to do that. And I thought of the story in Mark chapter 4. You can turn to it if you want to. I'll just tell it to you. But it's the story. Jesus had just healed the wild man of Gadara. He had just removed the devil from him into the pigs. They jumped into the water. He got into the boat with the disciples and he said, cast over to the other side. When they were in the boat, Jesus decided to take a nap. You all may be familiar with this story. These seasoned veterans of the Sea of Galilee, they were fishermen. They had known how to sail. They knew how to get the boat from point A to point B. And they were veterans. They fished all the time. That's what their occupation was. Well, a storm arose. Just like in our lives, storms will sometimes arise just when we're going from point A to point B. They panicked. Didn't know what to do. They probably took the sail down. Probably put the sail back up. Water's coming in. They don't know what to do. So, what do? They run to Jesus. And they say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? You know what Jesus was? Where he was at that moment? Wasn't at the top of the boat. Wasn't with them trying to pull down the things. He was asleep on a pillow underneath. And I want you to take this. Jesus didn't lose any sleep over the storms in his life. And you shouldn't lose any sleep in those in yours when you're not fretting, when you're trusting, when you're delighting, when you're committed to what the Lord has for you. Focusing on the storm brought worry even to those closest to Jesus. But they went to their Savior with the problem, which is the right solution. Anytime we have a problem, go to your Savior. Anytime you have a problem, fall on your knees, go to Him. He's the only one who can help it. When you're fretting, when you are not committed in that moment, when that moment of frustration and fear strikes you, run to the Savior. He's the one who can help you. Rest in Him. There was a young business owner years ago. He had built his business up fairly well, but he ran upon hard times. Didn't have the money to pay his bills, didn't have money to pay his staff. The workers were upset. Life just took a terrible turn. Nothing was working out, and things got so bad that he checked himself in to a local hospital saying, "I need something to help me. I can't sleep, I can't eat, I'm panicked, I don't know what to do." He was there a few days, and they helped him, but he still couldn't sleep. Finally, he said, "Give me anything you got, I need to sleep." Took something. I thought, "I feel awful. This is probably the last night of my life." So he wrote letters to his family saying, "I think I'm dying. I don't know what to do. I'm in what we would say, fretting." Well, he did fall asleep. The medicine helped him. The next morning, he awoke to the sound of some music he heard just down the hall. He thought, "Well, I don't know what that is. I better go check that out." As he went that way, he started to hear some music that changed his life forever. There was a chapel in the hospital, as there are in many hospitals. The words that he started hearing were, "Be not dismayed, whate'er betide. God will take care of you. Beneath His wings of love abide. God will take care of you. Through every day or all the way, He will take care of you." And let me tell you something, God will take care of you as well. There was a pastor getting on an airplane. Well, before I get there, I want you to know who that man was. That man, known to the world, was James Cash Penny. Many of you know him as J.C. Penny. That experience changed his life. In fact, he said of that moment, "Suddenly something happened. And from that day to this, my life has been free from worry." You may have seen his stores around. J.C. Penny's life was changed in that moment forever, for all eternity. I tell you what, in closing, a pastor was getting on an airplane in Iowa. He was flying out to California, coming out this way. Well, as he was getting on, he heard the pilot come over the intercom when they were getting started saying, "It'll be clear skies for most of the way, but there will be some turbulence around, so just be aware. But don't worry, folks. I'll make sure we all get there safely." General, that's what they do. The flight was smooth for a while, but after a while, suddenly heavy turbulence kicked in. The flight attendants came on. They said, "We won't be able to serve. The turbulence is going. We'll get to you when we can. But please stay buckled in your seats." Just as they finished, the airplane took another violent dip and people were grabbing white-knuckled at the seatbelts and hoping that the plane was all right. Just worried. They were fretting. However, a young girl sat across the aisle from this pastor. And she was just had her coloring book out with her crayons and colored pencils, just casually doing that as the plane is going up and down, violently, turbulently moving, where veteran flyers were worried. They were scared to death of what they were undergoing. However, the pastor was puzzled by her demeanor. He went over to her, or leaned over and said, "Miss, are you okay? Are you scared? Are you worried?" And she just smiled and said, "No, sir." Now that really, really got him thinking. He thought, well, how in the world can this be? So he asked her again, are you sure you're all right? Everyone else is panicking. You hear the screams, the cries, the worries, all the white knuckles just grabbing. She said, "Yes, sir, I'm fine, because my daddy, you see, is the pilot. And before we took off, he said, I'm going to get you all home safely." I want you all to understand something. This world is not our home. God is taking us past this earth with all its worries and all its frets and all the fears and all the things that it entails. And He's promised us here. He's promised us He'll get us where we need to go. The Bible says in Psalm 37, "Fret not." The formula is clear. Verse number 3, "Trust in the Lord." Verse number 4, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Verse number 5, "Commit thy way. Roll your burdens onto Him. He cares for you. He'll take care of you." In fact, if you go to Philippians 4, it tells us, here are the things to think on. Think on these things. Things that are lovely, pure, of good report. If there be any virtue and any praise, think on these things. But you know what the next verse says? "And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." You want to not fret? You want to not be worried about what the world has got around you? Well, fret not. Trust. And that trust is not a casual trust in the Lord. It is a full commitment, as it says a couple of verses later. You ever sit on a chair that has 3 good legs, but not a 4th? That's not full commitment, is it? I've did that one recently. I sat down on a chair. The 4th leg was bent a little bit, but I didn't see that at first. And boy, when you put your trust in something that is not fully able to hold you, it's one of the worst things in life. But let me tell you something. God will hold you along with everyone else for everything we need to do. When you are committed to His way, He promises to fulfill His obligation to us. Like I said, if I looked at my phone right now, I would show you there's a pastor, there's a Christian school teacher, there's a public school teacher, there's a businessman who says, "I got told this by the authorities and I'm not sure this is right. Can I do this for the Lord in my business? Can I make sure that children are hearing the gospel? Can I play Christian music in my store?" We get those calls every single day. Right now, there are people who need help, and we have the honor to do so. If you or anyone you know has any need for the Christian Law Association, it is our privilege to help you. That is what we're here for. The world is full of fretful people. God's people should not be those. We can depend on His promises, and when we trust and delight ourselves in the right things and commit our ways to Him, then, as verse number 7 says, we can rest in Him. Amen. What a privilege it is. As a child of God, we get to go through life knowing the end. We get to know how everything ends. The world doesn't know that. They cannot know. They don't have the peace of God because they don't have peace with God. We can tell them how they can have peace. The world's in trouble right now. Right now, there are people going to and from in front of this building, across the city, in the state capitol, who don't know how to have rest in their souls. In fact, you might say they're full of unrest. They do not know what to do. They're trying every way that man knows how to live their lives in a way that at least gives them some element of peace. They try all the world's ways. They try to soften the blow with alcohol or drugs or any kind of vice that will help them not think about truth. And yet we have truth. And it's our job to share that with them. May God help us as we do that. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the privilege we have to be a part of this service today. I pray that if there's anyone here that's worried or fretting about their life, about their health, about their financial state, they would give it to you this morning. Father, help us as we serve you to do the best that we can do. We want to give you all the praise and all the glory for everything you're doing. In Jesus' name I ask.